Hello and welcome to Flutzes and Waxels, a figure skating podcast to satisfy all of your skating news, analysis, and recap needs. I'm Mary Margaret Mertzos.
And I'm Alicia Mertzos, and we're sisters with a lifelong love for figure skating, practicing, watching, and discussing. So let's delve deep into what's happened in the skating world this week.
So we are now moving on to U.S. Nationals, the other major event that happened overlapping with Canadian Nationals.
If you haven't listened to the Canadian Nationals episodes already, just an FYI, we are not covering Korean Nationals.
Yeah, too much happening and European starts in like 5 minutes. So,
yeah, we don't have time. So we're going to get through as many of these U.S. Nationals recaps as we can today. Yep,
exactly. And also, if you didn't listen to us talking about Canadian Nationals, we talked a bit about the COVID situation there and how it differs from USFS, but we kind of can't not talk about it because COVID played a major role in this US Championships, in large part just because there was testing happening. Mm-hmm. So we have data points that we didn't have from Canadian Nationals. If you want to hear us talk more about the Canadian Nationals side of things, go listen to our first episode about the men.
Yeah.
But I think we have to start off by saying, I mean, they held nationals with an audience.
Uh-huh.
We at least did have testing.
Yep.
That was required and that was happening.
That was the one thing they did. USFS did one thing right.
Mm-hmm.
Skate Canada did everything but that one thing, which is kind of the pillar of success.
Mm-hmm.
Correctly, if we had merged the two and taken the good things from each, we would have had a relatively as close to safe as you can get nationals. But between the audience and the gala and just how jam-packed that arena was and the fact that skaters were hanging out in the audience, I understand the inclination if, you know, your besties competing in a different discipline to go watch them skate, but like, members of the Olympic team, knowing they were going to the Olympics, were in the audience. Really?
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, it's hard to stay away from people in general. Even like Nathan Chen, who was doing his utmost. Like, there's still, you know, they want you to do the photos and trying to get everybody to go to the gala. And there's a pretty packed crowd. It wasn't sold out, but there were a lot of people in that
It was
arena.
Close enough to sold out.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, Omicron is spreading everywhere. And even if you're vaccinated, there's no guarantee you can't get it. And if you get it now, your chances of going to the Olympics start diminishing rather quickly.
Yep. And it's every day later you get it, the less likely it is you're going to the Olympics.
Yeah, it's a no-win situation in a lot of ways. And I feel for U.S. figure skating in some ways because, yes, it would have been a huge monetary loss to get rid of the audience at a minimum or cancel it if you can't control the spread. But at the same time, if you wind up wiping out your entire Olympic team because they all got COVID because they went to this competition, okay, you got money, but you're not going to get that post-Olympic bump in funds, which is real, absolutely exists.
And also, hilariously, they picked the exact Olympic team that anybody who's been watching figure skating in the last year and a half would have predicted.
That's the thing. I mean, we even had couple of wrenches thrown in terms of the results. We'll talk about them in another episode, but we could have not held this event and picked the same Olympic team, and I think everybody would have been pretty satisfied with the results, which just makes it all the more frustrating that we went through this. And it would be one thing if it was just the, like Canadian Nationals, the potential threat of COVID without any knowledge of what actually happened. I am still worried about the ramifications of Canadian Nationals, but we just don't have any data. We unfortunately have lots of data for U.S. Nationals of people being COVID positive, and we might just wind up splitting it up by discipline because, yes, there were that many.
Yeah. Well, and the other part of that was the testing situation was so bungled that it almost makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because there was absolutely zero contact tracing. Which means that even when your coach, your training partner, your roommate at the hotel tests positive, you do not have to withdraw.
I mean, we're starting with pairs for U.S. Nationals. So our first major at the competition withdrawal due to COVID was Brandon Fraser. Before the competition started, he started getting symptoms, got himself a test. He was positive, and so they obviously withdrew from the competition. they had already been, you know, on ice with some of their competitors, and their coaches stayed in the competition. Yep.
And it was kind of tough to watch because there was a lot of discussion of, well, their training mates, Calla Lang and Johnson, and them saying, well, we haven't been training together for the last 2 weeks. We were trying to avoid, if this happened, somebody getting sick. Problem is, you have a vector. Your coach, who they ended up testing positive.
That's the thing. Like, the next day, they were at the boards for the short program for Calla Lang and Johnson, Mino and Sand. And then the next day, they also tested positive, and then they withdrew. But again, that was completely foreseeable that that kind of thing might happen. We have not yet heard anything about Calla Lang and or Johnson testing positive, but would it be that much of a stretch that they might? I don't think so.
And unfortunately for Calla Lang and Johnson, like we were saying at the top of the episode, the longer this takes for them to test positive, hopefully asymptomatically, the less likely it is they're going to have the multiple negative tests they need to get into China for the Olympics.
And that's the hard thing, too, is at this point for a lot of these teams, unfortunately, it probably will be a question of when rather than if. Yeah. I would love if it was an if. I don't want anybody to be getting sick. But again, we already know Brendan Fraser had it. Mino and Sand had it. They were interacting with other people here. We also had Kane Gribble and LeDuc, their parents and coaching team also are the coaching team of Amber Glenn, who also tested positive and had to withdraw.
So we have multiple COVID cases. And honestly, my biggest hope is it's all the same variant. Because worst case scenario, if we have multiple variants that skaters or coaches have already been infected with, skaters who had it coming in and might actually be okay for the Olympics could get a different variant and get sick again. And then you can't go to the Olympics. And it's the thing about Canadian nationals is the same thing probably happened.
Would be shocked if it didn't.
But we don't, it's an if at Canadian nationals.
Yeah. We don't know for sure. It probably did, but because we don't have data, it's harder to talk about it in detail. Like, and theoretically, if this person had COVID, okay, but we don't know who. Here, we know at least a few who's who had COVID.
And then on top of that, you add in the risk of having a jam-packed arena full of moist mouths breathing for
hours on end.
14 hours.
Well, we joke, but we were complaining from the comfort of our home about how long some of these events were taking. The men's free skate was something like 4 hours from when it was supposed to start to when it actually ended.
Yeah, it was just shy of 4 hours from when the start time was. It started nearly 30 minutes late. So it wasn't, it was like just over 3 hours at the end of the day from when it actually started. But people turned up at the designated start time or just before.
And that's the thing. You're encouraging people to stay in there even longer than they already were going to. And there have been a lot of studies at this point. Air quality in arenas is really bad.
It's hot garbage. Particularly, and we've talked about this in the past, for the pair teams because the worst zone is about 10 feet from ice level. Guess where all of these pair girls are in all of those lifts. And you add in the moist breath. There was pretty good mask usage in the audience, but it wasn't perfect. It was a lot of cloth masks as well, which,
and hearing about things in the official hotel being not enforced super well, and then just out in the world in Nashville. That's the thing. It's, there's so many
levels of risk that they didn't mitigate.
At all, really. I mean, yes, testing is good. But again, if you just test, that means, okay, we know that, for example, Brendan Fraser had it. We knew at a bare minimum that their coaches were exposed to him, but we didn't stop anything them from being in the arena, even though, yes, they also tested positive the next day. I hope that they got tested when he first tested positive, but whether or not they did, they tested positive the next day.
And an additional layer on top of that was that Brandon said that he had gotten his USFS test, it was negative, he started feeling sick, And they did not tell him, feeling sick, you must get a test and isolate immediately.
Mm-hmm.
His next test was scheduled a few days later.
Yeah.
So had he not been responsible and said, oh no, it's probably just allergies. I'm a smidge under the weather, but it's fine. It turns out he was feeling quite ill.
Yeah.
But as I talk about this, I have to bring up Amber Glenn,
her words, if not exactly, then very close to it.
Who basically said, I was feeling kind of under the weather. I assumed it was allergies.
And guess what? It's COVID.
Yeah. And so had Brandon done the same thing, and again, it shouldn't be up to the skaters to make these tough decisions of, I sneezed once, I have to give up my Olympic dream.
Mm-hmm.
But had he done that as well, it might be even worse than we already know it is.
And that's the thing. It could be worse than we even know of.
Yep.
Probably if like the Olympic team in various disciplines gets COVID at a time, which means they can't go to Four Continents or the Olympics, we will probably know about it.
Yeah.
For everybody else, and not just skaters and officials and coaches, but the audience too, we will never know the extent that this has caused to spread.
Especially because people travel from quite a ways to go to an Olympic season nationals.
Yeah.
And so it's not like we're gonna see a related spike in Nashville in 5 days.
Yeah.
We're going to see it spread out across the country.
Which means it's harder to know the true extent. Yeah. We will never know the true extent.
Which is really scary because as much as people want to say, oh, Omicron's not that bad, ICU cases are still hugely spiking in Canada and the US.
And not that bad for some people doesn't mean it's not that bad for others. And even if it's not that bad, it can still ruin Olympic dreams if that's all you care about.
And not that bad in the case of a pandemic that's killed millions of people means you're probably not going to die.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean
you're going to be 100% normal health-wise.
You're not going to, like Ashley Kane Gribble, develop asthma and need steroids daily.
Yeah. Yeah, so just have to get that out of the way. And again, I'm sure we'll talk about it in terms of the other disciplines because it did affect all disciplines. There was some good skating here, but it's always overshadowed by the reality of COVID and the threat of COVID to come.
Yeah.
And just the ultimate question mark of, in some ways, the Olympic team is more in question than it ever has been because we have the announcements, but who's going to get COVID and not be able to go?
Yep.
Because they came here.
Because that's likely at this point. It's, again, we didn't talk about this in quite the same way at Canadian Nationals, but it is also likely at Canadian Nationals. Yeah. We just know nothing.
Yeah. And to be fair, at both Nationals, it's also possible you could just get it at home or that some of the people who tested positive here were positive before they even got here and didn't get it from this event. That's possible, but we're not discouraging that from happening by having a big crowd and having everybody crowd together, 8 people on a podium step for photos and having a gala and all that stuff.
And having, you know, an additional ceremony for the Olympic team. Mm-hmm. Why we called the Olympic team back out to get a bunch of Gibson guitars, I do not understand.
Well, and even the Hall of Fame one as well.
You're really going to call Hall of Fame inductees to Nashville, some of them getting on a flight to come here to potentially get COVID on the flight or in the arena and potentially die after being inducted into the Figure Skating Hall of Fame? Really?
Yeah, we said this for Canadian Nationals. Uh-huh. This Nationals also could have been an email and it would have been a far sight safer. But let's move on to talking about the actual skating, since that's nominally why we're here. And there was some interesting stuff here for sure. Our winners here were Ashley Kane Gribble and Timothy LeDuc. And I was just so thrilled for the both of them that they were able to really deliver and prove that, no, we absolutely deserve to be put on the Olympic team as they were.
Yeah, they won here commandingly.
Mm-hmm.
They had a solid lead over the next team. Obviously, one of their top competitors was not competing.
Yes.
But they still delivered one of their best set of skates in a while.
Yeah, I mean, really, it was one mistake. Ashley popped the side-by-side sows in the combination in the free skate. But other than that, everything else was looking really solid. They, like, from the moment I first saw them on the warm-up ice, I just thought, oh no, they are all business. Yep. They are here to win. They are not even looking nervous the way we have seen from them mm-hmm. in the past. I think nerves have gotten to them definitely in the past. Yeah. But really great to see them live up to this pressure, because there is a lot of pressure on
especially
them.
Because Kinnearum and Fraser have been kind of the front runners
in a lot of ways.
And so you had to not beat them directly, but mm-hmm. beat the possibility of them,
yep.
which is so much harder
mm-hmm.
because you don't have that, this is what they scored, this is what they did, this is what I need to do to beat it.
Yep.
You have to imagine a perfect Kinnearum and Fraser and yep. try to beat that.
Because that's what the selection committee is going to yeah. be imagining, is a perfect Kinnearum and Fraser and what they could do at an Olympics. Yeah, I just so thrilled for these two that they were able to live up under the pressure. There were some teams who still did quite well, but fumbled a yeah. little bit more. These two absolutely just deserved the win. They were far and away the cleanest, the most confident. And the fact that you can do it under the pressure of Olympic nationals, I think, suggests as well that they can handle that Olympic pressure as yeah. well.
They really showed up as their best selves
mm-hmm.
this weekend. And that is no small feat under all of the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I mentioned Ashley has developed asthma since yeah. she got COVID in August. And aside from their first competition out,
mm-hmm.
you can't tell.
Yeah, it's amazing how well she's recovered, and a shame that she's had to recover yeah. that way, which is why nobody...
Please
nobody be getting COVID. I really hope that neither of these two did get COVID
yeah.
and will be prevented from going to the Olympics. It's just such a shame that's... I will be worried about it until every single figure skater has finished competing
yep.
because it's a threat to your competition all the way up until you are literally finished.
Yeah. Until you are in the kiss and cry at the end of your free skate, mm-hmm. it is a risk.
Yeah.
The biggest concern for me is the fact that her parents are their coaches.
Yeah. Again, we have a known vector. I hope yeah. they're all being extremely careful to uh-huh. try and ensure that they can go.
Yeah, because they have earned it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And we would, of course, be remiss if we didn't mention and acknowledge Timothy LeDuc, first non-binary Winter Olympian. Whether they make it to the Olympics or yeah. not, they have been assigned. I am so thrilled that this is, you know, barriers being broken.
Yeah, and honestly, even if COVID keeps them out, I surely hope not.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to count them as the first.
It counts.
Yeah.
They were assigned.
Yeah.
Whether or not COVID kills those dreams, and I pray that it doesn't, it's progress.
Yeah.
Especially in pairs figure skating, where, I mean, the handbook is still written as the man and the woman.
Yeah.
Like, totally gendered.
And
it's a huge breakthrough for figure skating.
Yeah. As much as every discipline in figure skating is gendered,
mm-hmm.
pairs and dance are the worst for it.
Yeah.
And having somebody visible
mm-hmm. yeah.
to every non-binary kid who wants to be a figure skater but doesn't know where they fit.
Or just of any kind, being the first at a Winter Olympics,
mm-hmm.
just even if you're watching and you're not a figure skater or not interested in it at all, visibility is important.
Yeah,
and I am so thrilled.
It warms my heart.
Yeah. So good to have a heartwarming thing. And again, I hope it is not ruined because of COVID.
Please put yourself in a bubble.
Yes, I beg.
Please. I can only imagine how hard it will be to train mm-hmm. without your coaches leading into the Olympics, but I need you to do it.
Yeah, it sucks, but it's for the greater good. Please
get
make
there.
It to the Olympics.
Get there.
Exactly.
And there was a different pitch for who should be the flag bearer at the Olympics, but I would love to see Timothy
yeah,
have that opportunity.
Who knows? I mean, the U.S. Olympic team, just in general, not just in figure mm-hmm. skating, but all sports, they're spoiled for choice, but that would be a really excellent one.
I'm putting it out into the universe.
Yeah.
Because if I don't say it, maybe nobody will think of it.
Yep.
But that would be huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in second, behind them, we had Calla Langan Johnson, who it's a real shame we had a couple little stumbles from them because they came close. They came really close. The short program, they were just a little bit behind Kane Gribble and LeDuc. It was mainly those side-by-side triple sows. They landed them, but they weren't perfect, and that kind of made the biggest difference. Yeah.
It was barely enough, and on a different day, it wouldn't have mattered.
Mm-hmm.
But that had them behind after the short, and unfortunately, I think maybe the pressure of needing to come from behind and knowing what was at stake.
And again, that specter of Knierim and Fraser, of knowing that if I want to guarantee my Olympic spot, I need to win. It was a question that if they were second with a strong enough skate, who knows, maybe they might still have been selected. But if you want to guarantee it, because that Knierim and Fraser aren't actually here, you need to win.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of pressure. And then combined with a really rough fall that she took in the warm-up, I'm sure just did not help the situation.
Yeah, they seem to be a little shaky the whole warm-up, which of course led to a really atrocious smack-your-face fall on a throw, which, watching her literally shake it off was terrifying because...
Shake her head off afterwards.
Because she did either literally smack her face or come close enough that it was whiplash. That concussion is a real possibility. I hope that did not happen, but I hope that somebody actually checked between the warm-up and their free skate, because
it's a possibility and can lead to real issues down the road.
Yeah. Particularly when you then go out and do a bunch of jumping and spinning, which are the worst things you can do for a concussion.
Yeah.
It is a risk, and it, on top of all of the COVID that we've talked about, was also kind of lingering of, even if they were named over Knierim and Fraser, that's another kind of mark in the what if not column.
Yeah, it's a shame because, I mean, clearly their pair elements are just so fantastic.
Yeah.
The lifts and the twist are gorgeous, and they are a really striking team on the ice. Unfortunately, just too many jump mistakes in the free skate in particular. And I think as well that if we compare them to Kane Gribble and LeDuc, they looked more nervous, particularly in the short program.
Yeah, I think Kane Gribble and LeDuc actually had a little bit of an advantage coming in here, having not been rewarded as much as they should have been at last year's Nationals. Yeah. I don't want to say not skating well, because they did skate well.
Yeah.
But they finished a little further back, where Calla Langan and Johnson were silver medalists, and Knierim and Fraser were not here. The expectation of, we should win this.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if that's how they felt going into the short program.
Well, and I'm sure, too, making up for lost time. They had to lose a lot of time due to that weird...
Makeup
drug
kind of WADA doking
thing. Yeah, the whole thing where she tested positive for a banned substance, but it was through her makeup and they had to prove it in order for them to go back to competing. They lost a lot of time compared to their competitors. And since USFS has been pretty clear this season, we're basing this on a body of work. They have less of one than their competitors. And so I'm sure that adds just even more pressure to an already pressure-filled situation. And I mean, considering all of that, the fact that it was just the side-by-side jumps and one throw that went awry.
Yeah.
This was still a really fantastic outing for them. It's just a shame that they needed to be perfect. Yeah.
They probably could have afforded a single mistake.
Yeah.
Because I would hope that the debate for the Olympic team selection would include, we have to assume that probably everybody's going to make at least one mistake between the two programs at the Olympics.
Yeah.
The chances of any team outside of the Russians and the Chinese being foot perfect in two programs at the Olympics are so slim.
But never mind four if you're going to have a pair team doing both programs in the team event and the individual.
So I would hope that they would have assumed that Knierim and Fraser would also make a side-by-side jump mistake.
Yeah.
And then maybe we say, we don't know what the state of Brandon is.
Yeah.
We have to go with who we know.
Yeah.
As much as we know.
Yeah, if if they had only had one side-by-side jump issue and finished points-wise really close behind King Gribble and the Duke, it's hard to say, but maybe they might have gotten the nod for the Olympic team. They are first alternates, which is something for sure.
And given the state of everything and the fact that the two teams nominated for the Olympics are both very, very close to a COVID positive situation or in a COVID positive situation.
Yeah. I mean, they are as well, but you can't do much about that now. So
it might unfortunately be a matter of who tests negative.
Who's the last one standing.
Before the flight.
Yeah.
So they're not out of the Olympics. I'm sure that's not how they want to go to the Olympics.
No, I'm sure. It is also, I understand why they've done it, but it's also a bit of a bummer that they didn't get assigned to four continents. Mm-hmm. It makes total sense because you want to have them there ready to go if we need them to go to the Olympics, because that's a real possibility. But between not getting four continents and also not getting assigned to Worlds, their first alternates to Worlds as well, I feel a little bad for them. I would have liked to have seen them get something, and they might at the end of the day, but I do feel a bit for them that they skated really quite well here and didn't get anything directly.
I want to hope that once the top two teams, assuming everything goes okay, make it to the Olympics, that we swap one of them out for Cowling and Johnson for Worlds.
I also hope, but I mean, they didn't make that decision though.
Well, I kind of wonder if U.S. figure skating is not really expecting all four people selected for pairs to be COVID negative in time for the Olympics.
That's kind of how it seems, unfortunately. Yeah. And it's, again, I totally understand the rationale because you do need a reliable backup, unfortunately. Yeah. You might need to use them. But yeah, being that reliable backup who doesn't actually get anything if the other teams are lucky, that really sucks for these two.
They totally should have just put them on the world team.
Or even just four continents team and just say, psst.
Be prepared to not go to four continents.
Exactly.
You might not be going to four continents because we can't trust that the two teams that have been selected are going to be COVID negative in time. Whether I really hope that doesn't happen, but I am not expecting that.
We need to prepare ourselves for these kind of things to happen, not just in US and Canada, but just all everywhere. Figure skaters. It is going to happen to someone. If it doesn't, I will be shocked.
Honestly, if it doesn't happen to several someones, I will be shocked.
Yeah.
So every first alternate, don't
be ready.
Train like you're going to the Olympics.
Exactly.
Because you might be.
Yeah. Even second alternates, as with the case of our bronze medalists here, Liu and Mitrofanov. I really hoped for these two that they could have yet another really clean, determined performance. They've had a few this season and even beat a couple of their direct competitors at Zagreb just a few weeks ago. It's a shame that they didn't quite live up to that here. I wonder if they too were feeling that pressure.
I mean, how could you not?
Yeah.
As these two, like you said, having just beat some of their top competitors in Zagreb, surely they were thinking,
what if?
Are we going to spoil for the Olympic team? Are we going to get on the Olympic team? Having, you know, had they been first or second here, back-to-back wins might have done it.
Yeah. Because they have some really strong technical elements and generally speaking have been quite consistent, which is why it's such a shame that that consistency was a little missing here, mainly in the free skate. The short program was still pretty solid, albeit
the one thing that has been holding them back all season.
Yeah, that back outside death spiral in the short program. They start with it, which I think is good strategy, but they consistently get level two or lower. And if we can just up that level, get that
just
few
a three
extra bonus points in terms of base value, I think that would help them a lot, especially in the short program where, you know, PCS-wise, they were a little bit of a step behind the top two teams. And in fairness, their, you know, interpretation of the music, their presentation, the performance is not quite as big and impressive as the two teams who finished ahead of them.
But they also did not get any help.
Yes.
Which I feel a little bad for, because aside from the throw triple lutz being a little shaky.
Yeah, she had to put a hand down on it.
every other element in that program, level of Death Spiral notwithstanding, was done with really nice quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while they don't have the same maturity in the external performance, they're not bad at it. It's just they're still young and relatively inexperienced, and Audrey has grown a lot in the last couple years. So it's a little unrefined, but it is not as much of a step back as they were left.
Yeah, I would have definitely had them closer points-wise after the short program. Yeah. Still third, but just closer in points.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, the free skate was where they really lost it, though. Just too many issues. Having two falls, one on the throw, one on the side-by-side triple toes.
Which is very unusual for these two.
It is. Normally, those side-by-side jumps are what sets them apart from a lot of the other U.S. pairs, because they are more consistent at them, generally speaking. And so it's a real shame that that let them down here.
I got so excited, because normally if they're going to make a mistake on a side-by-side jump, it's on their triple-triple.
Yeah.
And it went, not amazing, but it went fine.
Okay. Yeah.
And I thought, we're out of the woods.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they did too, because...
it's possible.
It just seemed to shake them a little bit when the triple toes didn't go well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame, definitely, but these two are still so young and show so much potential. And I think in a lot of ways it's, you know, lucky that they, I think, were a bit of a longer shot for the Olympic team. I think they knew that, you know, they were an outside shot. They are second alternates for both Worlds and the Olympics, and I believe we're directly assigned to four continents. I'm pretty sure. Yes, I thought so. I hope that they can go kill it at four continents, because I think they have the potential to do really well there. Maybe win. We'll see who exactly. Well, I mean, I guess it's Australia, U.S., and Canada. So they have an excellent shot of winning four continents. So
if I were a predictions kind of person, right now I would probably predict them to win.
Yeah.
There are certainly others who could overtake them if they make mistakes, but if they skate the way they did in Zagreb,
or even just the way they do here, and other people are inconsistent, I really like this team, and the fact that they're so young and already so strong technically, I think, is a really good sign.
Yeah.
And hopefully as they grow and mature and get more competition experience, the more performative side will continue to grow and develop, because that is what sets them apart more than anything.
But to be fair to them, it has really improved over the last couple of years. They have grown in every aspect of their skating over the last 3 to 4 seasons, which is really good to see, and I look forward to seeing it continue.
Yeah. And then behind them in fourth, we have Chan and Hao, who also got that four continents assignment. These are another somewhat young, newer team together. And I think these two as well have really great promise.
They have kind of the opposite problem of Lou and Mitrofanov, where the basic skating, the performance, the engagement with each other is remarkable.
Yep.
But the technical side is not as strong.
Or at least not as consistent. Yeah. They can have some really strong elements. Sometimes like the lifts, the twist can be really well done, but they have been shaky on occasion. Side-by-side jumps, it's a common issue.
Yeah.
But more than that, I think, especially in the free skate, having that final lift issue was, again, another determiner of, okay, this is what sets you a step behind the podium here.
Yeah, because their basic skating is so strong that they can make up for one side-by-side jump mistake fairly easily. Two was a lot harder, and they did have two in the free skate. But as we've discussed a lot in the past, your lifts are your biggest point getter.
Yep.
And getting negative GOE and losing a level, it probably should have been more than one level. But, you know, it's U.S. Nationals, so it's fine. But losing levels, getting negative GOE on a lift is kind of the kiss of death at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real shame, because some of their other lifts went really well.
Yeah.
And I think these two as well have a ton of potential and are still so young. And I hope they stick it out. And it'll be interesting to see how they do at four continents as well. If they can move past this silly mistake. I think for them, fourth at Nationals is a fantastic result, though. And I think they should overall be happy with how things went here.
And honestly, like we were talking about with the Canadian pairs, I think the thing they need most is experience.
Yep.
And so it's great that they're getting to go to four continents.
Yep, exactly. And then joining them there will be McBeath and Bartholomew, who finished in fifth. And these two as well, they're not quite as young, but they are definitely a newer partnership still. And I think they're really starting to gel quite nicely. She was a single skater for a long while and is now looking a lot more comfortable, particularly in things like the lifts. The lifts have really come a long way. And unfortunately, they had a rough short program with two falls, but the free skate really showed what they're capable of.
Yeah. Ironically, she was struggling on the jumping elements.
Yeah.
Which is normal, even for a former single skater. When you switch over to pairs, you have to spend so much of your time focusing on other everything elements. Else.
Yeah, well, and also your timing, unless you get extremely lucky, your timing on the jumps is probably going to have to change to match your partner. Exactly. So whatever, you know, timing and technique you had on your jumps might have to go out the window.
Yeah, even your setup, unless you do what Deanna Stiletto and Maxime Deschamps do, which I do not care for, but they do and it works, where you have different setups. That's not standard. That's not a thing you do except as a last resort as a pair team.
Yeah, exactly.
And so her jumping elements were not super confident in either program, but the rest of it was leaps and bounds better than their first season together.
Yep. And speaking of Deanna Stiletto, I'm fascinated to see, because she used to skate with Nathan Bartholomew, and they're both going to be going to four continents. I'm excited to see that head-to-head matchup again.
Let's be honest, Deanna's excited for that head-to-head matchup.
It'll be an exciting thing. I am looking forward to four continents, albeit being worried about COVID, and it probably shouldn't be happening. But if it's going to, gotta find some things to enjoy in it.
We've got to find the silver linings. If it's former partners competing against each other to see who can come out on top, that's always fun.
Exactly. And then behind them in sixth, we had a team who is new to me, Plazas and Fernandez. They had a really scary throw in the short program. And unfortunately, the throws were also kind of a mess in the free skate. The side-by-side jumps were a little wonky as well, which is what put them down in sixth place. But if we ignore
the jumping elements,
there's a lot to their skating that I really like.
I like them so much. I wish they didn't have to do throws because the throws are kind of terrifying.
Yeah, that, I mean, again, as we mentioned, side-by-side jumps, it's an issue for a lot of pairs. That's not what worries me.
No.
There were some really scary throws in both programs here. And if they can just fix those, even if we still have persistent side-by-side jump issues, I think these two have a lot of potential.
Yeah.
They're both great performers and really musical, great interaction with each other. He is also really flexible, which is always exciting to see.
I was so excited by how confident he is as a singles skater within a pair program.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the lifting partner has to sort of be the rock.
Yeah.
And you don't really get to perform and show off as much.
Mm-hmm.
But Maximiliano does that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, in spite of some terrifying moments, I was really excited by these two. And I hope that they can get rid of those terrifying moments so they're able to be more enjoyed.
We need them to keep programs for a couple seasons so we can identify where the throws are and close our eyes when they happen.
Yeah. Or better yet, just keep working on those. Maybe bring in a specialist. There are some around. I know, again, COVID makes things hard, but to consult with somebody to really solidify those throw jumps, because if they can just land those confidently, even if the side-by-side jumps are a mess, I don't care.
Everybody's side-by-side jumps are a mess, at least some of the time.
Exactly.
So as long as all of your other elements are good and their pair elements are incredible, it's just the jumping elements. I don't know what is going on with the jumping elements, but they are not working. If we can fix those, they may very well be a surprise to some people next season.
Yeah. And then just to wrap things out briefly, our final two teams who competed here, we had Finster and Selecki in 7th and Cook and Behringer in 8th. These are both kind of newer, younger teams together. And we definitely saw some messiness between them, but for all pair teams, honestly, but especially in the US where a lot of times we do see, even from some of these individuals, partner swapping.
Yeah.
Just to stick it out.
Please.
Keep on working. It's far more likely you're going to have success if you really commit to it rather than just trying to find somebody else and hope that that'll work better.
Find the person that you're... Don't give up on trying to find the person in the 90s skating movies who's just miraculously the perfect partner for you, even though they've never skated before and you're at Worlds a season later. That's not real life. I wish it was, but that's not how it works. I hope these two teams stick it out long term, because I expect we'll see some retirements at the end of this season. And I want to have the depth that North American pairs used to have.
I
want more depth. I want to see really strong teams sticking it out and making decisions hard.
Yeah. It's been a bit of a bummer this US and Canadian Nationals weekend that we only had 7 teams to start in Canadian Nationals, 9 teams to start at US Nationals, and winding up with 2 flights of each at the end of the day. I want more pair skating in the world, please.
Pair skating when it's good is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just not enough of it right now.
Yeah. But what was your highlight from this pairs competition this week?
I've got to give it to Kane Gribble and LeDuc for 2 really fantastic skates.
Yep.
Again, just focus on Timothy when they do the side-by-side jump combination.
Yeah.
It looks like a flawless program.
I mean, in fairness, Ashley's were pretty good here. They, you know, we had some national scoring going on, but they were some of the best that Ashley has done in a while. So. Yes.
Exclusively just for the combination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, we need to pretend that she didn't double it.
Yes.
Because if it
that
had
was
just
the only flaw.
If it had just been a triple, it would have been a basically perfect set of skates.
Yep.
And I'm so glad they delivered when it mattered.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, mistakes aside, I am also just really thrilled for Calla Lang and Johnson that they are still pushing.
Yeah.
Came so close to just being assigned. And again, who knows? We might still see them at the Olympics. Yeah. It would bum me out in some ways. Being a fan of figure skating as opposed to specific figure skaters is always joy and heartbreak wound up into one. So
I love a tight competition. And it breaks my heart every time.
Exactly. And in terms of the weekly Waxel, was a bit of a tough one, but we decided to go with the side-by-side jump issues for Lou and Mitrofanov in that free skate. I don't know that, you know, they did also have a throw issue. And with that, I doubt they would have been able to, you know, win and demand to be placed on the Olympic team. But I feel a little bad that they weren't able to make a better push.
Yeah.
And
to really truly be in that conversation.
Yep.
They were a little too far back for that, which is a shame because they are incredibly talented.
Yep. All right. But that wraps us up for this first part of US Nationals. Thank you all so much for listening. Please let us know your thoughts about this week in figure skating at FlutzesCast@gmail.com. You can also follow us at FlutzesCast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for even more skating content.
Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/FlutzesCast for bonus episodes, and our merch store, FlutzesCast.redbubble.com. And if you like what we do, consider leaving us a review wherever you're listening. We'll be back shortly with the rest of US Nationals, but until then, keep a watchful eye out for those Flutzes and Waxels, skating fans.